السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, no sisters who listen, who receivers. In the month of Ramadan, so much of duas were made around the world that I don't think people ever made so much of duas in their entire lives. You take the Haram Sharif, millions of people are making dua. Madina Sharif, millions of people are making dua. Masjid Aqsa, millions are making dua. Our masajid, millions of people around the globe in the masajid making dua. Everybody was making dua. So what would have been expected? What should we expect after so much of duas? We should expect a revolution in the society. People would have really seen the fruits of their duas. So much of duas we made, so now we must see the fruits of those duas that we made in the month of Ramadan. But yet we hear people saying that so much of duas we made, but we didn't find any solution to our problem. Na'uzu billah. Or people are saying that why is it that the Muslims are still getting a hiding? These are the words on the tongues and the lips of people. Why are the Muslims still getting a hiding? One person phones, tells me, Maulana, so much of duas we made in the Haram Sharif. We were there in Umrah in the month of Ramadan. And so many people were praying. Then why are we still catching a hiding? These were his words. So we have to understand that duas are accepted. Individually, when the person makes dua and he also pleases Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala changes his condition. The individual, he will see the fruits of his dua, provided he is obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as international affairs are concerned of the Muslim ummah, then many times I have mentioned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at the ummah at large. Until the ummah at large does not make tawbah from their sins, does not give up those vices and those evils that they have been indulging in, does not remove from their lives and from their homes the filth that has entered through the media, through the magazines, through the newspapers, and through so many other sources, until they don't get rid of those things from their lives and from their homes, then we cannot expect that the whole ummah's condition will change, no matter how much of duas people will make. But we are asked to make dua and increase our dua levels because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change that person's condition if he is sincere in his dua. And then when a large number of the ummah is going to do that, then Allah ta'ala will change the condition of the ummah too. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we have to look at his ahadith, his sayings, we have to look at the Quranic verses, then we get a very clear picture of when does Allah Ta'ala accept the duas and change the condition of the ummah at large. We have to just take one incident in Rasul-e-Pak's own life, that it was the battle of Badr, and who does not know that there were only 313. They didn't even have much arms and ammunition, nothing. And on the other side, 1,000 fully armed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes the preparation that was required. Although there were just 313, but still whatever preparation was required, where to place the army, where to camp, and all the rest of it. That means making use of the means was done. But then, look at the books of history. Look at the books of Hadith Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes into dua. And the way he begs Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he says, "Oh Allah, if this small band has to be wiped out today, then there will be nobody left on the earth to even worship you." In that state of emotion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that there will be nobody left on the earth to make your ibadat if only these 313 have to be wiped out today. The sheet that he had on his shoulders, even that slipped off. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu grabbed it and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enough. Allah ta'ala has heard your dua." And we know that after that, even at the time of the battle itself, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in sajda for such a long while and saying, "Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith." Seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala even there. Then the angels also came. Allah ta'ala assisted and helped them. And we know that the 313, they routed the whole army of the enemies. They captured 70 of them. 70 of them were killed. So these victories came on the strength of those du'as that the Muslims made. As far as the ammunition and preparation was concerned, that was something that was required. You make use of the means, but to trust that those means became the means of victory is a lie. How can those means have been a means of victory? If we say that the means became the means of victory, then how can that be true? Those 313, how could they have done that? So du'as have helped people right from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up till now. But there are conditions that have to be met. So when this question arises that why should the Muslims still be hit and why should they be suffering and why is it that they are still bearing the brunt of disasters and other things. So in Stanga I gave one simple example. I said that if there are 10 young boys that are taking drugs, they're drinking, they're gambling, they're indulging in all kinds of sins. And then one father comes to know that his son is also amongst those 10. So he goes there. Now his young son of 13, 14, 15, whatever it may be. Now he is also amongst the 10. So when he goes in there, what will he do? Is he going to bother about the other 9 or is he going to worry about his son first? He will catch hold of his son's hand and he'll give him one slap and he'll say, "But what are you doing here? Is this the place for you? I've been so kind to you. I've given you a car. I've given you a cell phone. I've given you so much of money. I've given you nice clothes. And I haven't deprived you of any of the good things of life. Now is this where you should be? Is this the place that you should frequent? Is this what you are doing? Is this the kindness that you are showing now to me? Or appreciation that you are showing for what I have done for you?" So he is going to catch hold of his son's hands and slap him first. And this slapping and pulling the son away from those 10 will be out of kindness, out of compassion, out of that mercy, out of that love that he has for his child. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only beloved to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but even to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala showed so much of favors upon the ummah. So much of favors. In the Quran Sharif, ayat are mentioned about the favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own favors upon his ummah. His only concern was nothing but ummah. Ummati, ummati. So at such a time now, if that ummah or the people of that ummah or the large part or percentage of the people of that ummah, they are in the wrong places. They are indulging in sins and vices and evils. Prostitution, adultery, fornication, drugs, drink, wine, women. Casinos are being run by Muslims. Prostitute quarters by Muslims. Cinemas by Muslims. when there's so much of negligence with regards to the most important part of deen after acceptance of Islam, which is Salat. So at such a time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he gives a bit of shake-up, then it is like that father who goes there and slaps his own son. And it is out of compassion that come out of this. This is not the place for you. So that the person may return. So that he may say, I am sorry, I made a mistake. When he's going to say that, then the father will say, well, everything is again for you. So this type of question, that why is the Muslim catching a hiding everywhere? So we must look at what are we doing as Muslims. This is our cry. In the month of Ramadan, to some extent we had reformed and changed. But then after Ramadan again what? So du'as are something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared as salahul mu'min. It's a weapon of the believer. And in one hadith sharif, together with that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and it is also imaduddin. It is a pillar of deen. Just as namaz is a pillar of deen, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says this prayer and dua is also a pillar of deen. And it is also noor for the person, a light for the person in the heavens and the earth. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when a person makes dua in good times, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him affluence, happiness, prosperity, he is enjoying the bounties of Allah ta'ala, at that time when he is going to make dua, then in the times of difficulties, when he is now in a problem, at the time when he is facing trials and tests, at that time the angels will plead on his behalf and say, oh Allah, this voice was very familiar. This is the voice that we used to hear always, oh my Allah, oh my Rabb, oh my Master, oh my Creator, oh my Sustainer, oh my most compassionate one, beloved one. We used to hear this voice a lot. So Allah, come to the assistance of this person now in his difficulties. Because when he was in good times, he used to think of me. It's not that only when in bad times, when the person is going through a problem, then we run around the world and say, make dua for me. The person used to make dua in his good times. So now in his bad times, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's angels, they intercede on his behalf. And they ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness of him. And also to help him and assist him in the difficulty that he finds himself. And if they don't hear that voice in good times, then when that person is going through difficulties and trials and hardships and calamities and disasters, then at that time now when he's making, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Allah Ta'ala does listen. But these angels, they said, this voice is not familiar. We are not aware of who this person is. We haven't heard this voice many times when this person was in good wickets. So du'as are something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala listens to. Therefore Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that when my servants ask you about me, then tell them I'm close. Allah ta'ala is not far away, he is close to the person. Allah ta'ala is closer to us than even our jugular vein. So how can he not be listening to us? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Ujibu da'wata da'i iza da'an. Allah Ta'ala says that he answers, he responds to the call of the person when he is calling to Allah Ta'ala, when he is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, when he is supplicating, then Allah Ta'ala responds, he answers that person. When we are making dua, we must have that yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is listening and he is answering. But then Allah Ta'ala says that what should he be doing then? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. The meaning of which is, That person who is wanting Allah Ta'ala to respond to his call, to answer his dua, to accept his supplication, then he too with a very willing heart should listen to Allah Ta'ala's call. It is not a one-way road. The person everybody wants that Allah Ta'ala must listen to our duas. So now Allah Ta'ala is saying he definitely listens and he responds. And he fulfills the wishes and the desires and the needs of that person. Allah Ta'ala will remove his difficulties, his pain and problem. And if he does not find outward acceptance, then he must not be disappointed. Because what Allah Ta'ala has done is accepted that dua and remove some other difficulty that he was going to face. Oh, Allah Ta'ala will keep him in store and give him in the hereafter. Oh, Allah Ta'ala will give him something better than what he has asked. But he answers. But he has to also listen to Allah Ta'ala's call. He has to respond. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. He must very willingly also submit himself and obey Allah Ta'ala's instructions, commands, direction. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will also fulfill or answer his call. So dua is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does listen to and does accept. But in a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that a person is on a long and a distant journey with disheveled hair, he is calling out, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, in his difficulty, in his problem. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, how can his du'as be accepted when mat'amuhu haram wa malbasuhu haram? When that person's dressing is of haram, when the person's eating is of haram, when the person's drinking is of haram, the person's earnings are haram, when the person is indulging in some way of haram, then how can his du'as be answered? I'm just giving an explanation. So which means that the person's earnings play a very, very important part in the acceptance of du'as. Many a times you must have heard in my du'a when I say, Oh Allah, when our homes which we have built are on interest, the carpets we put there on interest, the furniture on interest, our cars on interest, the clothes that we buy on budget accounts and interest payments, when the food that we buy also we pay with credit cards and we pay over 120 days where they charge us so much of interest. So our home, our carpets, our cars, our furniture, our clothes and our food, everything is nothing but haram. So much of lanat and curse is coming through all those sources. And then we say, Ya Rabbi, oh my Rabb, oh my Allah. How do we expect an acceptance of those du'as? When Allah Wala was asked that why is it that our du'as are not accepted? He said that you have displeased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and you are making no effort to please Allah Ta'ala. How do you expect an acceptance of your du'as? How else can a person get from his parents or from his friends or from anyone that he's got some love and liking for or they have got liking for him? How else can a person expect to get gifts or to get kindness or to get love and to get affection? Except by pleasing that person. If the child doesn't want to please the parents, but he's expecting a lot of love and compassion and mercy and kindness, will he get it? So he says, you have displeased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and making no effort also to please him. It's a different thing that you displeased him, now you realize that I've displeased my Allah. And I've gone far too distant from Sharia and from Deen and from Quran and from Sunnah. So the person is understanding and realizing his mistake and his error, and he is pleading to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for forgiveness, and he is returning to Allah Ta'ala, then his dua is going to be accepted. But he says, you're not even making that attempt to please Allah Ta'ala. Your attempt is not being even made to please that Allah Ta'ala. In the dua you say, Oh Allah, forgive me. And when you go back home, then you do the same things. You go back to the businesses, you do the same things. And I've mentioned many times that Shariat and Quran and Sunnah does not stifle a businessman. Massive companies were run in the time of the Sahabas and in the time of the Tabi'in and Tabi'i Tabi'in. As a Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali also was an import-export merchant. Shiploads of goods used to come and go. They entered into partnership, Islamic partnerships. And there are many other ways of doing it in the halal way. So there is no such thing as the person will become stifled, now he can't do anything. How many times have I explained that? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what vast territory he ruled over. And yet we look at him, such a humble, simple person with patches on his clothes. But he is ruling over such a vast territory and is Amirul Mu'mineen. So did his piety stop him from going to such height and becoming Amirul Mu'mineen, leader of the faithful? It doesn't stop. But that will then bring barakat. If the person is interested in pleasing Allah Ta'ala, then he'll bring barakat in his life. It'll bring peace, it'll bring harmony, it'll bring unity in the family. Arguments and fights and quarrels and all will disappear. Allah Ta'ala will give them jannat on earth. And when we are going to distance ourselves from Shariat and Deen and Quran and Sunnah, then sometimes the money will flow in, but it's going to bring nothing but wreak havoc in the person's life. So he says that you are asking why your du'as are not being accepted. You have displeased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and making no effort to please him. That is the first thing. Then he says the second thing is this, that you are claiming to be the bandas of Allah ta'ala, that we are the slaves of Allah ta'ala. You ask any Muslim, any mu'min, who are we? He will say, we are the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, but you don't behave like slaves of Allah ta'ala. You behave like masters of Allah ta'ala. So your claim is that you are slave of Allah ta'ala. But it seems that you are the master of Allah ta'ala, na'uzu billah. You don't seem to be behaving like a slave and a servant of Allah ta'ala. What was the duty of a servant and a slave of Allah ta'ala to do? It was his duty to ask Allah ta'ala, what is pleasing to you? What must I do? How must I run my business? How must I marry? How must I bring up my children? When I travel, what should be the guidelines? Everything should be asking Allah ta'ala, because he is the master, he is the creator, he is, and we are saying we are his slaves. So he's saying you claim to be bandas of Allah ta'ala, but you do everything that is against this claim. Then he said the third thing is this, that you are claiming that you are ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask any Muslim that how important it is to have ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask any Muslim. He will say, yes, to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of iman, it is part of deen. Without the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not even a Muslim, you are not even a mu'min. Without Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam muhabbat, can a person be a mu'min and a Muslim? So you see, your claim is that you are an ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you look into your lives, you're doing everything that the enemies of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to hurt him, to cause him pain, to cause him injury. You are doing those very same things in your lives. Would it not have caused Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam great pain if he had to know that so many people in our area don't make salat? If Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be informed that in certain homes they are watching these type of things on the television and on the internet they are watching, and these are the type of magazines that are coming into those homes, and that these are the type of films that are stacked up there by even those people who sometimes claim to be pious, would that not have caused him pain? And so he says, you are claiming that you got ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And without ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's no iman also. Sharte tawheed kamil yehi hai, aapka ishq ho qalbo jame. Sharte tawheed kamil yehi hai, aapka ishq ho qalbo jame. Karna salli ala ho zubaan par, kya asar hoga ho fughaan mein. So you are claiming that you got this ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but x-ray your lives. That means we should all x-ray our lives. We should not point fingers at others. Every time that some bayan is given, then we think of others. Yes, so and so is doing this, that person is doing that. But we forget that we should be x-raying ourselves and seeing that how much of wrong we got in our own lives. We must make an effort to get others also out of their sins and evil. But we should immediately check into our own hearts and see that how much do we have that is hurtful and that will cause pain to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Mubarak heart when he is informed twice a week that this is the condition of your ummah. So he says your claim is there, but you do everything to displease him, everything that his enemies do. So how do you expect your du'as to be accepted? So don't blame the du'as and don't blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says blame yourselves. What are we doing? Then he says your claim is that the dunya is like a, in the bayans we will say it is like the mosquito's wing, the head of a mosquito. It's got no weight in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if it had that much weight, Allah ta'ala wouldn't have given a drop of water to those who disbelieve in him. That is what you say. But in your heart, deep down in your heart, he says, you also believe that if you don't have plentiful of this dunya, then there's no such thing as respect. Your izzat and your respect and your honor and your dignity and your titles are all subject to how much of material wealth you have. He says your claim is something else. And it's not haram again, as I said, just like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to the top. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala ruled. In the same way, there have been kings and rulers with massive amount of wealth, but they were tajjud guzar. They were 5 times namazis, and they obeyed Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says that the just ruler will be under the shade of the throne of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So first he has to be a ruler. If he's not a ruler, how can he be just then? That promise which is made, or that virtue which has been given, is for a just ruler. Which means that first he will be ruling over some massive country or territory or something else, and he will be just. Then because of his justice, now Allah Ta'ala will give him that shade. So again, it's not the wealth that is being condemned. But here what he's talking about, he says that in your heart, deep down in our hearts, we feel that the person who's got no money, so even if he's a pious person, righteous person, and he's got good character, he's very gentle, charitable, and holy, and righteous, but he's got no worth in the sight of anyone. Why? Because he doesn't have money. So he says, you also say that it is not the worldly wealth which gives a person esteem in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, but your lifestyle show that is what you believe in, that is what gives you respect. Many other things, may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding that it is not the duas we must increase and make more and more duas, because without that we can't survive. But at the same time we must check in our lives where we are going wrong, make istighfar, tawbah, repent, turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, and He will accept us. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummah around the globe. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.